Blog Talk Radio.
I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. Come on in this house. Come on in. You're welcome. Where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. And oh, what a feast it is indeed when we come together in a unit of one and we unite our minds, our spirits, our hearts into fellowship and true worship centered around the presence of the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, of the entire universe, of every living being, of every living thing. We will experience the height, the depth, and the breadth of his greatness, of his omnipotence, is of his omniscience, and of his omnipresence. And truly, what a great experience indeed it is. Oh, praise ye the Lord. Only that men would praise the Lord for his marvelous works, for his greatness, for his loving kindness, for his tender mercies, for his miracles, for his healing, for his deliverance. Oh, what greater things God would do. And oh, what a wonderful way it is. You know that it is. Amen and amen again to come in to this house as we lift up holy hands and worship him. We concentrate on him. And oh, yes, we worship him. That's right. Not only on Sunday, but on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, and on Saturday. And all just keeps on coming, keeps on going. See, the worship of God, let's get this part straight. It's not dedicated to just one day. It is dedicated to each and every day. You know that God dwells in the midst of praises, that God's presence is effervescent when we recollect and when we recall and respect and speak of his name and remember him. It's not about a religious organization. We need to get outside of this way of thinking and this way of doing. We need to do it so that we can experience the very greatness of his presence. We need to be able to experience the very omnipotence of his greatness, of his omniscience, of his omnipresence every day. And when we do that, the more that God will breathe upon you, breathe in your life, freshness, renewal, revitalization, motivation, breakthroughs, deliverance, miracles, revelation, a greater degree of relationship with him. And this is the part that's missing. We have become so programmed into the systematic exchange of the world, we have forgotten those things. Well, we need to come back. Come back. Come back, guys. Come back, girls. Come back, ladies. Come back, gentlemen. Back to the old landmark where we first recognized the greatness of his presence. This is a divine word of revelation, a very unusual way of going into manner of speaking. That's right. It's a very unusual way because why? We're following the power of the Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by God, they are the sons of God. We need to stop trying to lead the Holy Spirit. Come on now. Somebody witness. Somebody testify about this. And let the Holy Spirit lead us. For he, the Holy Comforter, will lead us and guide us into all manner of truth. He will show us prosperity. He will show us enrichment. He will show us elevation. He will show us deliverance. He will reveal the very secrets that have been so hidden from us. He will give us the ability to experience that breakthrough. Don't you understand this? Don't you understand? I'm speaking to those who are professing to be believers and are not bearing forth fruit. A tree is known by the fruits that it bears. And when that tree is not producing, there is something wrong with the root analysis of where that tree is planted. Else that tree needs to be transplanted into another area where the very multiplicity of fruitfulness and of multiplication can spring forward. That means the roots need to be transplanted in the ground where they can get the enrichment. Because if the tree is not enriched, the tree will fall apart. It will break apart. It won't produce anything. A tree that doesn't produce anything, it's not beneficial to those within the perimeter. And God wants us to produce the fruits of righteousness. As much as God blesses us, we should be that blessing. People should see the elevation in our lives and the way we live, the way we speak, the way that, even the way we dress, the way we present ourselves, our mannerism, our character should show the blessings of God flowing into our life. Who would want to be planted a particular geographical specificity and there is no evidence or no proof of the benefits of being there? So as the children of God, and which all are God's children, but some of us have been called into the elect field to go into harvest, to plant seeds, but we've got to be receiving the adequate nutrition ourselves. And God wants us to check our roots. He wants us to check where we've been planted. Are we producing? Are we progressing? Are we moving forward? Are we presenting the evidence of the effectiveness of our location? We need to produce those things so that others will look upon us. Because look, the greatest degree of message that you can give to unbelievers and to those who have walked away from the faith and departed, it's not just what we say. That has some degree of effectiveness and impact. But the greatest degree of what we present is how we live, what we're producing. This is what speaks by the volumes. And Apostle Paul even verified this. He said this, we are living epistles being read of men daily. What does our report? Ask yourself. As I do ask myself, what does my report say? Am I blessed? Am I prosperous? Am I abounding in every good thing? Is my life producing the very effectiveness of my belief, of my faith? Does my faith define my character? Has it elevated me? Has it motivated me? Is it pouring back? Because whatever you put in the ground is going to spring forth, whether that root has been effective in nurturing the very tree itself, or whether it has been non-effective, it's going to show forth. And so we need to make sure that we're producing the very essence, the very meat for the meeting of the master's use. And I know it's a tough thing to accept. I know sometimes we may not quite understand, but this is where faith comes in. Faith covers us when we don't understand, when we don't perceive, when we don't quite understand the undertaking in which we are now. Many of us are saying, Lord, it was spoken to me when the Holy Spirit, let me tell you something. Let me tell you, it's the word of knowledge. Please listen. When the Holy Spirit tells you things that are coming to pass, all you've got to do is stand still, remain rooted, remain grounded, because it's coming to pass. And one thing about the Holy Spirit will always give us timetable. Well, when something is of urgent necessity, God will administer definitive timetables. But when something is of essence that's going to impact you, that's going to affect you, and is of the urgent measure, God does give definitive timetables. But when things are of accessory, God will do it in his own set time, but it's coming. Oh, stand on it. Stand on it and know. Because I know that the Holy Spirit has ministered things to me about the very systems of this world. about circumstances, and everything the Holy Spirit spoke to me has came to pass, has came to fruition. Don't you know it gives God the ultimate joy to see us rejoice in the fact that he speaks the word and it comes to pass? He's glorified. Yes, he is. He's glorified. And this is the reason why we need to develop a more enhanced, a more enriched relationship with him. He is not a religion. Please, please, brethren, please, stop associating God with a denomination, because God is a spirit. He is not a denomination. You look at the word denomination, reverse the N with the M, and what do you get? You get demonation. No, this is the device that Satan uses to separate God's children, his elect, by warring about doctrine, warring about beliefs, warring about tradition. God is a spirit. He's not a religion. He's not a tradition. He is a spirit that is indeed evident through what we experience through our spirits, his evidence, that manifests from the invisible to the physical realm. And they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit. He didn't say indoctrination and organization and religion. He said religion requires ritualistic practices. God is not for religious and ritualistic practices. He is a spirit. He knows no boundaries. He created the heavens, the earth, and the entire galaxy, the universe. He is endless. That's right. He is from infinity to affinity, and he is infinite. That means he has no limitation. When you turn around and you try to put God in religion, you can't translate into being finite, limited, because he's unlimited. Don't forget he's omnipotent, all-powerful, knows no boundaries. But, oh, he fulfills his word. He watches over his word to perform it. And God wants us back to that landmark where we can experience the miracles. Don't you know that God would do so many great miracles of healings and deliverance, financial breakthroughs, salvation, ways out of no way, but we've got to get to the touch point. Those roots have to be in that ground where we can experience the height, the depth, the very breath of God. This is the day and this is the hour. I am fired up and I'm wired up because I know that God is moving by the power of his spirit. That's right. And from this day to the day I turn past 100 years of age, I'm going to hold the testimony that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you tuned into the right place. It's no incident. It's no accident that you tuned into Manner of Speaking, heard on the Blog Talk Radio Network. That's right. Heard worldwide. That's right. On every continent in the world. Because why? This gospel of truth needs to be taught, needs to be preached to every creature under the sun. And we are creatures. We are living creatures. We're more intellectual creatures because God created us in his own image. That's right. He gave us the ability to procreate. He gave us the ability to become civilized, not institutionalized, but civilized, to be intellectual and to be able to master this society. And God gave us the capacity to be the custodial provisioners for this planet. That's right. That's why the scripture tells us the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and them and all they that dwell therein. That's right. That's right. It's so true. It's so true. It's so true. And it's glorious and victorious. And it is November the 21st, 2021. What a great and grandiose time to be a believer in the body of Christ and the power of the true church, which is an invisible establishment. It's not a building. It's not a brick and mortar. But, oh, it's of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you something. He that the Son set free is free indeed. And the Holy Spirit knows no boundaries. It just receives that which is from God and transmits it to the believers in God through the power and the name and the authority of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Great miracles are happening even as we're speaking. Thank God for his loving kindness and his tender mercy. Oh, what a mighty God we love and we serve. And one of the most powerful scriptures that I know in the Old Testament, in Psalms. And Psalms is a beautiful book. That's why it is a very, very beautiful book. It's full of spiritual enrichment, spiritual enhancement, encouragement, and rationalization. People don't even know that. Condensed of 150 books, each developed upon a systematic theme and the power of God. And I want to revisit with you. And you take out your word of God, your sword. That's what, whereby you cut down the very oppressive circumstances in your life, in your environment. Let me tell you. Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What is the psalmist David saying? He's saying, they that trust in God and put their confidence in God and focus their doings, their goings, their coming forth in God will continue to experience his majestic powers on their behalf. That's right. We need God's keeping power. Despite how educated we perceive that we are, despite how healthy that we are, we need God to keep us. We need God to protect us. We need God to guide us through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the majestic name of Jesus Christ. We need to be persistent and consistent with his presence in our life. The second verse says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. A refuge is a keeping place. That's right. It's a protected area. Where you go, where you feel that the world has become too overwhelming or too overbearing for you to sustain any longer. He says, and my fortress, a fortress is a protected barrier. It's like a force field. It keeps out what's bad and contains what's good. My God, in him will I trust. God wants, sometimes God removes people from our environment. He even removes certain individuals from our connectivity capacity, not because he's trying to punish us, but God wants our focus. That's right. He wants our focus. And he wants us to know that deliverance comes through him. God motivates the man to move on your behalf. And God wants us to understand that because see, we'll get it twisted and we'll start recognizing and believing in people instead of trusting and believing in God. Let me tell you something. I have been, and I know probably, let me be honest. Even in the future, God will sustain me where that I have to be alone. See, sometimes being solitary is the way that God connects with us better because we have limited distractions. That's right, because sometimes we get too friendly with people. We start going places, doing things, getting caught up in various types of activities. And nothing is wrong with enjoying the simple pleasures of life. It's not a sin, and people need to stop telling fabrications to people. It's a sin to listen to music. God allowed music to be created by man. It's a way of entertaining. It's a way of actually getting people to tune out certain vibrations they've been exposed to. There's no sin in the music. The sin is when the music becomes sinful and projects a message that is not wholesome. That's when we have to abstain from it. But he said everything he created, and God gives us the intelligence to create things, he said was good and very good. We make it bad when we start honoring people. We start lifting people up, putting them on platforms. We can't do that because he is the Lord our God, and he is a very jealous God. All right? It's just that simple. He says, surely, third verse, he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. You know, the snare of the fowler are people who are just wicked. It's just sometimes you can feel when you have the power of the Holy Spirit operating in your life and you're humble before God and you know God knows that your heart is pure and blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And See, God working on their behalf, me experiencing. When I say I see you, I understand, I can connect with you. And to those of us who have a true connection with God and our hearts are pure, he will let us know who the founder is. A founder is a person sometimes who's underhanded. They want what you have at your expense. And sometimes they come in the form of frenemy, someone who's pretending to be friendly with you just so they can get to know you and see how you operate and see how they can sabotage your footsteps so that they're able to ascertain what you have. He said that he would do what? He would deliver us from the snare of the fowler, the people who desire to ensnare you and to tear you down and to bring you down. He would deliver you from it. He will divert their attention and their footsteps and send them another direction. He said, your enemy will come at you one way and flee from you seven. That's right. And what a mighty God we serve. He said that what? And from the noisome pestilence. That means from the aggravations, from the frustration and the confusion that oftentimes residuates as a result of individuals who plot and plan in secret. And the scripture talks about that, how the wicked plan against the righteous and gnash upon him with his teeth. What does that mean? Doesn't mean that he's physically biting anybody, but that individual is seeking to destroy the character of those who represent holiness, which is a mannerism of how we conduct ourselves, and righteousness. The path that we travel is righteousness. But understand this, the only righteousness we have is Jesus Christ. All of our righteousness is a filthy rag. I don't care how you're dressed up, what you put on, what you take off, that's not holiness. That's not righteousness. Righteousness and holiness is an attitude of humility. Knowing that if it weren't for God, I wouldn't be here today. If it weren't for God, I wouldn't have what I have today. If it weren't for God, I wouldn't be where I am today. If it weren't for God, I would not have excellent health today. If it weren't for God, I would not have my right mind today. That is what holiness is. The opposite of holiness is haughtiness. Haughtiness says, look who I am. Look what I've done. And see, the word of God tells us that God giveth grace to the humble, but the proud he knoweth afar off. It says, six things doth the Lord hate, a proud look. People who feel a sense of entitlement that they can dominate and push others around and have the power of others. God is not pleased with them. That's right. He's not. So therefore, we understand that his power reveals these things to us. And I love the fourth verse. It says, he shall cover thee with his feather, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. What is the Lord saying to us? He's saying to us that I will be your keeper. I will be your comforter. There are some people whom you thought were your friends and had your best interest in mind, but they were not friends. They were frenemies. They were opportunists. They were users and abusers who disguised themselves as your friend. And see, something, I'm going to tell you something. You have to be careful. When you're operating under the anointing of God, you become an easy target because you don't have to say a word. Your presence speaks by volumes that you're different from other people. And sometimes your difference is valued by many, but envied by most. Most why? Because they don't understand how you made it. They don't understand what kept you. They don't like the fact that you have the power of God operating in your life, which gives you that substantial level of difference. And they try to piece you together by getting to talk to people that you know, finding out who your partners are, finding out who your connected factors are. But oh, let me tell you something. You don't have to get angry when people speak to undermine you and berate you. Vengeance is mine. Not yours, not mine. Mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay. And let me tell you something. You don't want God to repay you. Because when God repays you, no one can help you. No one will want to help you. That's right. So therefore, we understand that God's presence is so great, it overshadows any and everything. He says, and we will be in his feathers. What are feathers? doesn't keep you warm, they make you comfortable. You know, sometimes you may wake up in the middle of the night, you're feeling alone, you're feeling desolate, like no one cares. Like, look at the finer things of life, the opportunities seem to just walk right past you, and those who don't even merit any degree of goodness look like they get everything. But that's okay, because God sees. He knows, and in due time, he will exalt us. He will prosper us, and we will know that it is him and his presence that made it happen. So that's what seven represents, comfort and the ability to feel protected and loved and under his wings. Oh, when someone takes you under their wings, that means that God speaks to you. He lets you know that I have not forgotten you. I love you. I care about you. Don't allow this world to dictate to you. You dictate to the world. And this is what God wants us to do. We are not impacted by this world, but instead the world should be impacted by us. He says, under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. That means standing on the word. No good thing will I withhold from them that walk upright. God said it. He meant it. So that means that all we have to do is stand on the promises of God. And he will bring it to pass. When he said, thou shalt decree a thing, and what? It shall be established. And we know that the light of God, that means the presence of God, will illuminate our path. All we got to do, we got to stay on the course. We got to stay on the course. Thou shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. What is the psalmist saying? He's saying you're not to be afraid to put your head down at night and to go to sleep. Because Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That means I shall not lack. I shall not be without. We're to lay down and sleep peacefully. And our dreams are to be blessed. Sometimes when we have these dreams that are traumatic, of things from the past, of violence, inapathies going on, it is a way that sometimes through the human consciousness, things that we have seen or heard of, and can sometimes enter our sleep realm. This is the reason why this psalm is a great psalm to read before you put your head down, so that God will give you guidance as you sleep when you're unconscious. We need the presence of God, yes, even when we're unconscious and in the sleep world. That's right. He says, and what else? Nor for the arrow that flieth by day. That means that God put his arms of protection around us. He said he gives us angels charge over us to protect us as we go about in our daily lives, as we're going about to work, as we're going out to take care of our financial obligations, of our personal obligations. God gives his angels charge over us and paves the way for us to travel safely to and from. What a mighty God that we serve. The sixth verse. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. That means the things that are waiting to happen in secret. You know, it has been instances where individuals have experienced the very protection of God that did not allow them to go to a certain location. That's right, because there was some evil lacking. There was some evil plot there to overturn or to harm them, and God prevented them from going. They wondered why their vehicle didn't start. Amen. Are you listening? They wondered why suddenly they couldn't find their keys to get back into the house. That was the protection of God. They wondered why they suddenly lost an urge to eat a certain thing. That was the protection of God. See, God protects us and we don't even know it. Let's give him thanks. Let's give him praise for what he does. God does, we know what God does when we see it right in front of our face. But some things that God does, we don't even know about it. But consciously in our spirit, the spirit man knows what God kept us from and protected us from. That's right. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by noon, day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noon. That means that the very aspect of laying to waste, that's like to divert, to attack, and to bring down. We're not to fear those things because we know that the angel of the Lord encampeth around those that fear him to deliver us. That's right. When God diverts our path, we decided to take path A to go to a location. Suddenly path A is not accessible. We have to go to path B. It's God's protection over us. That's right. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. What is the psalmist saying? That God will protect us. We may hear of things going on with other people. Our prayers are with them. Yes, we need to pray for those who are experiencing turbulence. Yes, we're supposed to pray for their deliverance and for their salvation, and that God would permeate them to come through successfully. We are. He said, but these things will be around you, but they won't come to you. That's the difference. A person can come around you, an evildoer, but one thing about it, they can't come to you. They can't step to you, as they say. Because why? They're not qualified. And the barrier of protection is around you. And can nothing in this world, visible or invisible, penetrate the vortex of protection that God has provided for us as his children. It said, but all these things are happening, but it will not impact or harm us because of God's presence around us. Oh, yes, in the 8th verse, I love it. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. That's right. Sometimes God brings you to a place, you experience adversity and things that are not pleasant. Then suddenly the hand of God, as you are praying and persevering, God gives you deliverance, and the very people that attempted to denigrate you or to secretly plot and manipulate, monopolize upon you, God will let you see them as your footstool. That's right. They will be humbled in your presence. And when God humbles those who have wronged us, past, present, and even in the future, we're not to sit back and laugh, say, ha, ha, that's what you get. That's karma. No. We're to say, thank you, Father God, that I was not on the reciprocating end of being an evildoer. We're to thank God for it and say, God, and I hope and pray that you spare that person in your mercy. And while you're sparing them in your mercy, bring back to them the remembrance of how they treated me and how they treated others. For God said this. He said it. I didn't say it, but I'm going to repeat. He said, touch not my anointed. Do my prophet no harm. And sometimes people, the way they can treat you is harmful. Because we're human. We're human. We've experienced sometimes frustration, aggravation, even depression because of the way people have treated us. Sometimes the people in our intermediate family have impacted us in a way that can't even really be described. And it scars. But oh, Jesus breaks every chain. Jesus can heal those psychological scars. See, a lot of us, here's the word. We will, some of us are blessed of God, and I'm telling you, it's a blessing of God. We'll never experience physical illness. We'll never experience life-threatening illness and painful illnesses in our bodies that compromise and decrease the longevity of our life. Some of us, praise God, are never going to experience that. We won't know the pain of physical illness in our body. But those of us who are so blessed in that way, and I'm going to tell you something, it's just as devastating, but not more impacting. But many of us have psychological illnesses and scars. Come on, let's be real with this. Let's be real about it. I'm a testimony. I'm speaking. Have deep psychological scars that are just as bad, if not worse, than physical disease and illness. Psychological scars, and we need to talk about it. There's things that as believers we're sweeping up under the rug, and it's like God won't move on our behalf. We need to talk about it. Psychological scars are things that happened to us in our past. whether it was physical incidents or just psychological incidents, whether it was verbal abuse, whether it's emotional abuse, it has impacted us and scarred many of us. As a result of it, many of us have very low levels of self-esteem. See, having low self-esteem doesn't make you humble, but having low self-esteem sometimes can cause you to be bitter. See, we need to understand that humility and low self-esteem, no, they're not hand in hand. They're not the same. Sometimes low self-esteem can cause the deepness of the psychological scars to become more extensive, more extrusive. That's right, and cause you more misery and create things in your mind. See, the mind is the central control system of the body. The mind, that's why we heard the terminology of mind medicine, that some people are not actually physically ill and have conditions, but their minds have been so encaptivated and impacted through human emotion and physical experience where it has caused them to feel that way. And we need to talk about it. We're going to go further on as time permeates in future broadcasts of Manner of Speaking, that we're going to talk about those things and how we need God's presence and his power to deliver us. Okay, he says, what? Therefore, what? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. That's right. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and we are safe. We are saved. We're protected. We're guarded. That's right. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. That means that no evil thing shall come upon us. Now, sometimes I've heard people say, did you hear about this person? Getting right, did you hear about this person? What did God's word say? What did the psalmist David say? Therefore shall no evil befall you. That means come against you, overtake you, overwhelm you, occur to you. But see, sometimes God allows chastisement when we walk away from the truth and we turn our back on what he has spoken to us and we refuse and refuse to accept it. And God chastens us. But he said, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague, I mean any illness, any disease come into our bodies. See, our bodies are the holy temple. Sometimes we fall short. Sometimes we fall back, but then he lifts us up. And when he lifts us up, we need to continue walking on that path of righteousness. Despite how many times we fall short, we got to get up and keep moving forward. Well, listen, it's been a wonderful anointing time of refreshment, of instruction, and we're going to pick back up next week as we're going to go further into Psalms 91, talking about what a mighty God we serve. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, for God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. Have a miracle-filled, powerful, blessed, prosperous, productive, anointed week. You have your teacher, the Holy Spirit, and your presenter, Abigail Phelps, saying, in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and concerning me too, concerning all of us, and that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. We'll see you next week.